Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because, of course, we have with us Colonel Ron Ray. Colonel Ray is a retired Marine Corps colonel. He was the Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. He is a defender of the cause of liberty and is deeply involved in trying to educate the American people about the Christian history of our America. Now, you know, one of the most controversial statements you can make today is the fact that America is a Christian nation. Why, of course, everybody will poo-poo that. Our leaders will poo-poo it. And yet, of course, 50 years ago, everybody knew America was a Christian nation. In the same way, to try to educate people to understand that America was never meant to be a democracy. Every one of our states and our federal government are republics, and of course, that means they're ruled by law, not by the whims of men. No jury should ever be required to listen to what the judge says. The jury decides the case based upon, really, of course, the law and, of course, whether the man is guilty or not. But none of these things, of course, are available to the public today because of the degree of control that exists through the media and through our educational system, yes, and tragically even through our churches today. And so Colonel Ray has put together a wonderful, wonderful program going into the history of America, the history that has been actively suppressed by those who would change us from a Christian to a secular nation, from a republic to a democracy, from a nation of free men to a nation of serfs. Colonel, thank you so much for being with us.
Dan, it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be with you. How are you? And Happy New Year.
I'm doing just fine, thank you. And, of course, I had the opportunity of going through something the Colonel had put out the other day. He sent to me on a CD, and it's simply a talk that he's put together. It's on CD with video and all sorts of, well, it's a great, great talk, and with all the references to the historical fact America is a Christian nation, despite what the Supreme Court has said, despite what Al Gore has said, despite what even the leaders of some of the Republican leaders say, America was a Christian nation historically, and they can't change history, can they?
No, they can. In fact, it's in war, truth is always the first casualty. That's a statement going all the way back to the Greeks. And I think that, as you and I both know, America's essentially been continuously at war, at least since 1898 in February when the USS Maine was sunk in Havana Harbor in Cuba that launched the Spanish-American War. We've almost been continuously at war. But let me say something about your introduction, if I could. It's very kind. I am not by any means the best expert on the biblical foundations of American law and civil government. I am very versed in it, but I have always, you stand on the shoulders of many other people. I've learned a lot of things from you, Stan, in so many ways. David Barton I met in 1990, and I finished second in my class in law school. I've told the people that. I've had the best education you could get in the state of Kentucky. And I had the best education that our national security establishment can give you, the National Defense University, the NATO War College, all the command and staff colleges and what have you. And when I met David and saw his work, I realized that I hadn't been taught in any of the finest establishment education you can have, right to the NATO War College in Latimer, England, the National Defense University. Nobody told me about the biblical foundations of American law and civil government. And I attribute that to the likes of men like Peter Marshall and David Barton and many, many others who have pulled that together. But what I think I've done I won't say a unique job, but I think I've pulled together a lot of information that I've gotten from you and other distinguished scholars But I think I have been able to show people the sort of the transition from the 1892 Supreme Court case, February, I guess the 29th, February 29th, 1892, when this unanimous Supreme Court held as a matter of law, fact, and history that we were a Christian nation. And how did we go from there to then, from then to now? And I think I have tracked some high and important benchmarks along the way. Certainly one of the strongest benchmarks I got was when you sent me my first copy of the Foundations and Their Power and Influence and the Rees Committee work, and Dr. Cecil Fulmer over in the Southern California sent me a complete copy, a Xerox copy of the Rees Committee report, and I went through it and devoured it. And of course, rewriting history in the 20s was part of the agenda of these tax-exempt foundations. And let me give you another bench point. Right after the Korean War, some distinguished Americans, including Commander Dwayne Thorne and many others who'd been a POW, the Koreans, were part of a project to look at why the American POWs had done so poorly during the Korean War in the hands of the communists. And one of the findings that led to the Code of Conduct, and one of the findings that led to Eisenhower's interest in adding the words "under God" to the Pledge of Allegiance, was that our young men, in the hands of a very merciless enemy that knew how to manipulate the mind of man and how to pressure him, was that they did not know enough about the differences between a communist system and Americanism. They didn't know about the Constitutional Republic, and that lack of knowledge was what created training that led to the Code of Conduct. And the Code of Conduct led people like General Walker and Lieutenant Colonel, then Major, and then later Lieutenant Colonel Arch Roberts to start the Code Blue program in our armed services, which was stopped. And Walker was forced to retire, and Arch Roberts was thrown out of the military. He later successfully sued the Secretary of the Army to get back in. But I have connected the dots in terms of what happened to move us from a place where the Supreme Court can say we're a Christian nation unanimously to now where any mention of God in public life draws immediate fire from the leaders of all of our primary institutions and both political parties. I think I told you once and on one of your other shows that I knew Governor Fordyce, Kirk Fordyce, the first Republican governor of Mississippi, and he was taken on by the Republican leadership because he said, he quoted from that Supreme Court case at a governor's conference, and he was attacked by the chairman of the Republican National Committee.
Well, we're going to be right back with Colonel Ray here in just a moment. And, of course, Governor Fordyce said America is a Christian nation. But, of course, the head of the Republican Party attacked him for saying that. We'll be right back here in just a moment. And just to be simply mentioned, if you feel sort of run down and you'd like to get a little bit more in the way of energy, a little bit more zip in your step, there is a product. I've taken it for the better part of 10 years. It's called Be Alive Royal Jelly. And, of course, it's what the Queen Bee eats. You can get the Be Alive Royal Jelly products by calling 1-866-233-7500. They've been around for a long time. This began simply with a woman who had sort of a chronic fatigue syndrome and nothing would get her out of bed, and she just couldn't get anything accomplished, and somebody told her she ought to just try the royal jelly. She did, and of course it changed, transformed her life, and of course then they began selling it, and oh, I guess a decade ago we met them, the people from Be Alive Royal Jelly at the National Religious Broadcasters, and my wife even, you know, just the goodness of her heart, did a commercial for them at that time, just because she was so sold on the product. And of course, recently they asked if they could sponsor our program for a month, and we did, and they had an excellent response, so we're going to do it again. Call 1-866-233-7500. That's 866-233-7500, and ask for information on the Be Alive Royal Jelly products, and I will tell you, sold with a money-back guarantee, and I'm convinced you'll be pleased. And then, of course, if you would like to learn more about Alamax, which is an Allicin product, the active ingredient, and garlic, which lowers blood pressure and lowers cholesterol, and it really has so many wonderful properties, call 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000, and find out about Alamax. Could you believe that there is an organized effort to dumb down children all across America? As we see falling SAT scores, it's very easy to say, well, gee, we need to just spend more money. That'll solve our problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't solve the problem at all, because there is an organized program within the hierarchy of education to dumb down our children intentionally. Outcome-based education is a fascinating book written by Pamela Hobbs Hofker and Pat Lutzik, going into the background of the program of the humanists who gained control of the educational establishment in the United States to change the attitude of our children, to change their attitude towards God and family and country. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for outcome-based education. Once you understand what they're doing to your children, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, if you don't understand our history, why, of course, you can't understand what's going on today. Why should young men go overseas to fight for something they don't understand? And of course, why would the people here in America try to cling to our constitutional system of government when they don't understand why our system's any different than any others? We hear about all the corruption, and there is corruption, but the corruption exists because, of course, we have turned our back on God as a nation, and they have convinced the children of this nation, and many of them, that there is no God. And certainly the idea that America had a Christian heritage that is worthwhile trying to preserve will be criticized not only by the leaders of the Republican Party, by many of our ministers, but by many of our ministers who've been educated in seminaries where people have been planted to destroy their faith. And these people have never been allowed to hear the truth, much of the truth that Colonel Ray is going to tell you today. So, Colonel, why don't you pick up and tell the story?
Well, it's interesting that jump forward to say that in Kentucky, there have been a lot of positive things in this, and it comes from surprising quarters. I mean, like you just said at the close, that the Rich Bond, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, openly criticized Kirk Fordyce for quoting from a Supreme Court case decided unanimously that it had never been overturned. So he attacked the first Republican governor at a national governor's conference when he made that kind of statement. So that's kind of an outrageous thing. But still, good things have happened. Let me just cover a little of the interesting things, and we'll pick up some of the progressive developments as they occurred. I got to see this past October the pleasure of seeing David McCullough speak at a Pulitzer Prize winning biographer. He wrote a biography of Harry Truman. He wrote a biography that was very readable of John Adams. And he was the keynote speaker at the National Book Fair at the Smithsonian Institution at the end of the Library of Congress in October. And I was really surprised, and when I was listening to it, as you do, and he said some things that were stunning to me, and in front of a very liberal Washington, D.C. audience. He said, we're raising a generation of historical illiterates, and this ignorance is dangerous. And towards the end of his speech, he reiterated and said, we face an entrenched foe today who believes in enforced ignorance, and we don't. And he got a standing ovation from a liberal Washington, D.C., I mean, largely college-educated crowd, for making that particular statement. And I'm going to try to get some of this information in his hands, but he actually said, we face an entrenched foe today who believes in enforced ignorance, and we don't. So there's surprising support, even though this history has been suppressed and rewritten, particularly the biblical foundations of American law and civil government. The criticisms of this country are enormous, as you know, since the 20s when tax-exempt foundations were supporting PhD programs for those willing to suppress and rewrite history. And you've documented that very well, and your listeners understand that very well. But I was surprised, and very pleasantly surprised, when on March the 16th this year, James Madison's birthday, the Secretary of Defense issued a press release and actually called attention to the American military oath, which he called a sacred oath. And, of course, many of your listeners are veterans or public officials, and they've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic, and they close that oath with "So help me God," which is actually a prayer, and the secretary said that if you don't understand the oath, it's a dangerous thing, and he wanted the servicemen of all services to review their oath, review the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, and to look at the first principles of the American military. And he put a website together, and if you send me any of your listeners, send me an email at eunicerae@aol.com. That's eunicerae@aol.com. I'll give you the link.
All right, that's EUNICE.
R-A-Y. At AOL.com, and I'll be sure to send you the link. And if you look at the First Principles Press website, there's some of this background material, and expect that to be updated a lot in the next 30 days. But I was really encouraged that he said the documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, form the basis for our freedom and our prosperity. And I thought that was an extremely encouraging thing, and I've begun to talk to captains and colonels and lieutenant colonels when I get an opportunity. Fort Knox is very close to where I am, and the U.S. Army out there has given me an opportunity to speak to a future commanders in the Army that are going to be assigned all over the world, and I've had an extremely warm reception, not only to talk about what they don't know and what they don't understand, but that there is this enforced, entrenched enemy, this entrenched foe, a domestic enemy, I would call it, which believes in enforced ignorance, and that we're going to have to actively take it back one at a time. President Hoover put it really well in his first book after he left office. In 1934, he published The Challenge of Liberty, and he said, "Liberty dies of the water from her own well, free speech poisoned by untruth." And I think that when you see people like the Secretary of Defense, and you and I both know the limitations, as President Nixon said in 1980 in the real war, the limitations on public officials, the Congress, and even the President of the United States, when the elite puts limits on what they can and can't do and kind of sets an agenda. But I'm encouraged when within those limits you see somebody like Rumsfeld making a historic, I think, reminder on James Madison's birthday, who was the last of our founders to die, to point out the importance of the foundations of our country and the foundations of our military. And I've always believed that, and I believe it to be true, that the military's, the biblical foundations of our military are still intact. And if you read those first principles of the Navy and the first principles of the Continental Army, it's inescapable. And he called attention to it on a website and put out a press release that received some attention and went all over the world to every command. So that was a great encouragement to me.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the constitution of each one of our 48 states, I don't know about the last two, but the constitution of each one of our 48 states, even the constitution of the state of California, mentions God in the preamble to the constitution. Now, of course, they're never going to teach that in school, and yet, of course, the very foundation of government is built upon a belief in God. And you remove that belief in God, and you end up with moral chaos, you end up with Enron, and you end up with global crossing, and you end up with WorldCom, and with a lot of people who don't see they did anything wrong other than getting caught. That's the only problem.
Well, I agree with you, Stan, and that's true. But McCullough, at the end of his, a very important, in fact, I've got the videotape, and I'd be happy to make a copy and send it on to you. I think you'd enjoy it.
I would love it.
He said it's essential that we teach our children this, and we're going to have to assume the responsibility to teach our children the truth about American history, because we're not going to have it taught to them in the church house, and it's not going to be taught in the public schoolhouse, and in fact, it's not going to be taught completely in the Christian schools, and a lot of the private and parochial schools won't teach it. But McCullough said it's the duty, and he's right about this. It's the responsibility of parents to teach their children. And, of course, my favorite bumper sticker is one that I saw, I've seen several times, and it's "Television Eats Books." I think that the parents would turn off the television and be sure their children are given an opportunity to read important books and know that reading is important and can get into this. There's no reason why, when you get a Pulitzer Prize-winning author like McCullough standing up and making a strong declaration, that when you quote that to other people, and I've quoted him often to groups, liberal and conservative, and had an awful lot of support from people, and the military has chewed this up to a great extent. But there's no question that if we don't do something, this generation will pass away, and the next generation will not understand why we call ourselves one nation under God.
And of course, the freedom that we've known will simply become a remembrance of things past. And of course, no nation can survive, you know, if it loses religious foundation. And certainly all the great writers, whether it be Tolstoy or Dostoevsky, or they all, if you read their writings, they will tell you that it is the religious foundation that is the basis of society. And you destroy that, as they did with ancient Rome, and then, of course, Rome fell. And the same thing happened, of course, with Greece. But it's happening here in the United States today. It happened in Germany during the 1930s as the people turned their back on God. But what's happening in America did not happen by accident. It was carefully planned by wicked and evil people. And that, of course, is what Colonel is referring to when he talked about that book, The Foundations. Would you like to just mention a little bit about that before we go to our break?
Well, there's no question about it. I think if you want to understand the first half of the 20th century and you had to read only one book, I think you'd have to read the book that we can thank Stan Monteith for putting back in print, and that's The Foundation and Their Power and Influence, published in 1958. And the author is Rene Wurmser, who was not only the special counsel and general counsel to Congressman B. Carroll Reese during his two-year investigation of the great tax-exempt foundations, but he was really one of the leading tax lawyers in New York City and somebody worthy of consideration. And that book can be obtained from Radio Liberty, and by all means get a hold of that book to understand where we are today. That book will give you some real indicators.
All right, well, I appreciate the plug, and we'll be right back here in just a moment with Colonel Ray, and we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But if you'd like to get a copy of Foundations, The Power and Influence, we actually published the book because it was so vitally important that the history be understood. And what it basically talks about is the Rockefeller, the Ford, and the Carnegie Foundations, and how they financed socialism and communism and tried to destroy the faith that the American people had in our way of life. Why did they do that? Because they knew that if they were able to accomplish that, all power would be centralized with Washington, D.C., and of course the politicians would be bought and sold by people of great wealth, and they could control both political parties. They could bring about with their real objective, and that was a new world order and a new world religion. Well, you say those people are long since dead. No, but the families are there, the ideas are there, and believe me, the Rockefeller Foundation is still involved in this whole move towards the New World Order, the New World Religion. In fact, it's Stephen Rockefeller who travels with Gorbachev and Maurice Strong, pushing the Ark of Hope. Of course, the Earth Charter to replace the Ten Commandments. And when you understand the occult background of everything going on, and you want to get our latest newsletter, our December newsletter, because we go into the occult background of many of the great banking families, of course, people of great wealth, who have been pushing this alternative agenda. The book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. You need to get our four-tape set on the secret government. And in that, you'll hear my interview with Norman Dodd, director of the Reese Committee that investigated the great tax-exempt foundations. And he will tell you what their goals and objectives were as he talked to people like Rowan Gaither, who led the Ford Foundation, and all these other people, and found out their real objective of the men who led the great tax-exempt foundations was to destroy America, to destroy our heritage, to destroy everything good and noble about our country. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest today is Colonel Ron Ray, and we're talking about America's Christian history and how the books, the textbooks have been rewritten. Certainly the ministers have been indoctrinated. The teachers have been indoctrinated. The professors have been indoctrinated. And certainly there is an organized effort to destroy any memory of our Christian history. And it's been done intentionally and purposely, hasn't it, Colonel?
No question about it, Stan. And I think that, but it's interesting, I was doing a Bible study about 30 days ago, and I came across a passage that I appreciated. It said, "The Lord rewards a diligent hand." And I looked at that, and I was talking to my wife about it. She looked at me, and she said, "You notice that the Bible doesn't say the Lord rewards the diligent hand of the righteous or the churchgoers or the Christians or the Hebrews. It says the Lord rewards a diligent hand." And it's interesting that as I've looked back over this history, there's another thing that has caught my eye. Looking at the plan, I like to say it didn't just happen randomly. It was nine guys in a room somewhere making a lot of these plans. No question about it, but they were diligent. And we, the people, haven't been diligent. And what David McCullough called us to do, he said to parents, he said, it's time for we, the people, to tell their own children this. And what we've done, Stan, in that CD-ROM that I showed you, and I'd make it available to those that would like it, they can see the briefing that I gave on the website, firstprinciplespress.org. That's firstprinciplespress.org. But what I want you to know is you, your listener out there, can take these same PowerPoint slides, these presentations, they can give this briefing with a little bit of work on their own. They can give it to their Rotary Club or their service club or their Sunday school class. They can certainly give it to their own children. There's no reason why we don't have to be as diligent as those that have wanted to see a one nation under God subverted, undermined, and forgotten the biblical foundations of our public institutions, our laws, and civil government. And the fact of the matter is, I believe that you can say the local churches in this country have been fat, dumb, and happy. And, of course, the Bible says to you that we've gone into a kind of a captivity that's not unlike the captivity the Hebrew children went into twice. And we've had a better covenant than new covenant. And I think that Ichabod is what I see going on in this country today, which means the glory of God has departed because we've turned our back on him. We've been lazy and been more concerned with our 401k and more concerned with taking time off from work, and we've looked to our insurance policies, and we've looked to the security of our businesses and all that, and we haven't been the diligent kind of people like our founding fathers were, with a firm reliance on divine providence. We pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor that we and our posterity might enjoy the blessings of liberty. And that faith of our founding fathers is the kind of faith that needs to be recaptured. But you can begin at home one day at a time and use the materials we've got there on firstprinciplespress.org. They're free of yours. Download them. If you want the CD-ROM, you can have that. And you can have your own, take the same PowerPoint presentation, mix and shuffle it depending on the group you're in front of, and you can make that presentation in about 30 minutes and wake people up to what needs to be done and what's happening. And you start at home, as David McCullough said, you have a responsibility to teach the truth about this country to your own children.
All right, fine. Now, can they get the CD-ROM from you, or should they pull it down off your website?
Well, a lot of it's right there on the website. If they'd like the CD-ROM that I sent to you, if they just email us at eunicerey@aol.com, and give us their address, we'll get it out to them at no cost.
All right, well, that is beautifully done, and really there's Pastor Kennedy is there, Colonel Ray is there, but the quotations are there, the background, the documentation, and where you can actually get this from government documents. But, of course, those people who would destroy this nation and its Christian heritage simply never mention this. I mean, you can go to the Supreme Court building, as I have, and stand there in the chamber where the Supreme Court justices sit every day, and where they open the session where the choir comes in and says, "God save the United States and this noble court," or something, words of that effect. So why can they mention it in the Supreme Court, but they can't mention it in schools? And there above where they sit, there embedded, chiseled into the marble are the replica of the Ten Commandments. But, of course, we can't have that anyplace in a government building where people can see it. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's the greatest scam in the world. because behind everything is this desire for a new world order and a new world religion, and many people on that Supreme Court appointed by Republican presidents, because remember, 7 of those present Supreme Court justices were actually appointed by Republican presidents. 7 of them are going right along with this whole godless agenda. Let's go to Chris calling in from Kentucky, and again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. Hello, Colonel Ray.
How are you, Chris?
It's great to have you on. I tell you, you've been locally here. You've been recently on a local talk show, and you really have been inspiring. I've learned a lot listening to you.
Well, I hope you're going to think about even setting up an institute on the Constitution there. And with Colonel Ray's material and that institute of the Constitution, you can really begin to educate the people there in Kentucky. Go ahead, Chris. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a couple of things I'd like to say. You know, you're bringing up our nation being founded on God. Look at our currency. It says, "In God We Trust." Well, it's the God of the Federal Reserve of the Mafia is what I look at it as. And it's not the God that we just lost it. And Colonel Ray, you're right. We have just turned our backs on. They've taken in the early 1960s, the prayer was taken out of schools. You can't teach the Constitution a lot of things anymore because you get an F or you fail this or you're this or that. And get them out of these government schools.
And they won't even allow the singing of the third stanza of the Star Spangled Banner, because it says, you know, in God is our trust. If this be our motto, in God is our trust. We couldn't sing that in school today because it mentions God.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Fourth Amendment's in danger. A lot of the First Amendment, all of these, the Bill of Rights are in danger.
Well, don't forget the Second Amendment and the Tenth Amendment.
All of them.
That the new program that George Bush is pushing, federal education, if you look at those textbooks, they totally exclude both the Second and the Tenth Amendments. Why, you know? Because they're really pushing the United Nations Declaration of United Nations Declaration of Human Rights and United Nations Bill of Rights, rather than the American Bill of Rights.
Absolutely. Well, you've got to understand that history, though. It's not just enough to know the Constitution. You have to understand it in context.
Right.
Many Americans don't know that the Supreme Court has frequently recognized that the Declaration of Independence is essentially the charter upon which the Constitution rests. If you would use the corporate analogy, it's the charter, and the Constitution is the bylaws. In other words, it's the fundamental law of the land, and they don't understand the Declaration. Many of them don't know how to read the Declaration. The 8 little words, "the laws of nature and of nature's God," reveal something very true. When people try to tell you that this is some sort of deistic, or this is an atheistic, or it's not either one, it's impossible to look at those 8 words in the Declaration, and it mentions God 4 times, including the fact that our primary rights come from our Creator. The Declaration sort of settles as our fundamental law the issue of evolution and creation right there in its title. It's why the Declaration is under such attack. But it's not enough to say, of course, the what we know has happened in the public schools. We know what goes all the way back to Horace Mann in the 1840s. And many of our friends, Charlotte Isserbitt and John Gatto and many of the guests you've had some of the finest people on education. Dennis Cuddy from North Carolina have been on Dr. Stan's show. But the point is, the question is, what are we doing in our house about it? And in our house, we still can teach, and we're responsible for our time. And if we look back, it wearies me to see how diligent the enemies of one nation under God have been. They have been diligent. They've been more diligent than we are, and the Lord rewards a diligent hand. So I think it's time that we started pointing out what's going on. It's been an agenda for the ACLU since its founding to suppress American history. It's a political objective of the NEA. They brag about it in their own journals, and you can pick up the quotes. I've got it there for you. And we need to understand what separation of church and state really means, what Thomas Jefferson understood it to be. But you also have to understand the media monopoly. And Stan, by the way, when we're together in Florida, I'm going to get an opportunity to give an introduction to the nature and origins of the media monopoly in one of our friends' seminars. So I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully by February that'll be up on the website so people can understand going all the way back to March of 1915. Thanks to you, I learned about the J.P. Morgan interest and congressional investigation about how they acquired 25 of the greatest newspapers in the country and appointed an editor for each paper to properly supervise and edit information considered vital to the interests of the corporate purchasers.
And it's been downhill ever since then. Hey, yeah, Chris, we're going to have to let you go because we got Charlie in Pittsburgh. But, hi, Charlie, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, you're speaking to me?
Yes, I am. Are you Charlie?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
hey,
okay.
But before I ask him this question, did I hear you right, or did you say you were a member of the Council on Foreign Relations?
No, not a member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Thank God. I was wondering what you guys thought about, I believe today was the day down here in Alabama where this Judge Roy Moore had to remove that monument.
I bet he didn't do it.
I was wondering if you heard anything and what you thought of that particular situation down there. Right. I understand that D. James Kennedy is trying to do as much for with our Coral Ridge Ministries, and what you think of Mr. Kennedy.
All right, fine. Well, let's let the Colonel Ray answer that. I'm sure he likes D. James Kennedy because D. James Kennedy is on his CD. Why don't you pick that up, Colonel?
Well, I think Dr. Kennedy has probably been more forthright and devoted the kind of time in the pulpit to these kinds of public issues that over time, I think, as among the nationally recognized preachers in the country, I don't think anybody's been more forthright and has hit on these topics to such a degree, and I appreciate Dr. Kennedy a great deal. He's certainly been in the corner of Judge Roy Moore, who's a Vietnam combat veteran, a West Point graduate. I've known Roy Moore for a number of years. People don't know, because it hadn't been publicized because of the media monopoly, that basically Judge Moore defeated the ACLU in three different attacks on him for having the Ten Commandments. He actually was able to get the cases dismissed, but they didn't get completed. But he did win, and the reason he won is he understood that he made the history of this country personal to himself. He could explain the oath he took as a soldier, as a cadet at West Point. He could explain that and make it personal so that his testimony was put himself right in the long gray line of patriots going all the way back to our founding fathers, and therefore I believe that he can be and will be successful in the outcome of this case, and I believe he'll stand there in front of that monument and will not remove it. I suspect his attorneys, and I hope they're the very best there are. I know Herb Titus some, and I don't know who the other attorneys
Stephen
are, but
Mills.
I suspect an appeal or a stay of the order asking for removal. I was in three cases up here in Kentucky, and all three of the men led me to believe they wouldn't take the Ten Commandments down, and when the pressure got on, they did take the Ten Commandments down. What we're going to have to do is stand up and be counted.
All right, Charlie, you just hang on here right now.
Okay.
But right now, of course, I want to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon you out there to help us do what we do 5 hours a day, and we can't do it without your support. Certainly, we're on 5 hours every day on Internet, on shortwave, on radio. We're on 2 hours on shortwave, 3 hours on satellite, and, of course, we do Saturday programs that's heard on 35 stations. We have about 50 stations right now that we're on every single month. And not as many as I wish it was, but at least we're getting the truth out that many people have never heard before. And so if you believe that there's a problem, if you believe America is worth fighting for and sacrificing for, then we hope that you'll want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And if not now, when? If not you, who? And so if you would like to join, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do best. And that is, of course, talking to people, trying to explain to them the issues and put things into a clear perspective. At least we hope we put it into a clear perspective. perspective, and my job as I see it is to educate you so that when I'm not here, you will be able to pick up and understand and carry on this understanding of this wonderful nation that we inherited from generations past. And remember, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest right now is, of course, Colonel Ron Ray. And we've still got Charlie on. Charlie, anything else you want to ask?
If I could just ask a question and make a comment real quick, and I'll get off and listen to what you have to say. I was just wondering, according to this paper I was reading, that Judge Moore, that there was a possibility that he would run for governor. I think that would be an excellent idea. And the comment I wanted to make was... The job that these people have done, they've infiltrated everything and really destroyed the educational system and everything else, but just a person at home, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to take 10 minutes and read over the 10 amendments, the Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, or what have you, even poetry with your children, and maybe you can learn something and they can too, and it doesn't take a lot of time. And
yeah, but you got to get them out of the government schools. You leave them in there. They've got them 8 hours a day, and they'll destroy their faith in God and in family and country, and they'll turn the kids against their parents. So get them out of the government schools. They don't stand a chance.
Preaching to the choir, sir.
Amen.
Thank you very
okay,
much.
God bless you. Thanks right. so much. Okay, that was Charlie calling from Pittsburgh, and our guest, is, of course, is Colonel Ron Ray, and a retired Marine Corps colonel. Our telephone number, if you'd like to give us a call, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And it is so vitally important that you learn this history. I mean, most people have never heard of the case of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States in 1892, where, of course, the Supreme Court gave over 85, 87 reasons why America was a Christian nation. Doesn't mean everybody has to be a Christian, but it means it was founded by Christians on Christian principles, and it was those Christian principles that made our country different than other countries. You go to a Muslim country and you try to, practice the Jewish or the Christian faith, have lots of luck there. They may, execute you. In fact, there were actually six people in prison in Kabul in Afghanistan at the time of the Afghan invasion. And what was their crime? Well, they were simply preaching the Christian faith in Afghanistan. The Muslims can come to America and practice their faith, but you try to go to most other countries and practice your faith is not allowed. And that, of course, is because Christianity is a very tolerant religion towards others. And, of course, this was made into our and built into our Constitution, that people had a right to worship as they would. But, of course, here in America today, everybody can worship as they want to, except Christians increasingly. Do you sense that to be the case, Colonel?
Well, I think there is a double standard that's clearly at work, and you can see that. And what most Christians don't know how to do is they don't know how to be an apologist for their faith. But worse than that, most Americans don't know how to be an apologist when their country is falsely attacked. They don't understand how to defend it, and whether the attack is slavery, they don't know how to respond to that. They don't know the truth of history about that. They couldn't stand there and tell you that, you know, first of all, slavery was a British institution that America had a hard time getting rid of. Who's the first person that outlawed slavery, the importation of slaves? Patrick Henry as governor of Virginia. I mean, there's just a whole lot of facts out there, but Marxism the isms all operate under, they begin with criticism, and you can always, I like Jean Kirkpatrick's phrase, when the Democrats met in San Francisco in 1984, she called them the Blame America First crowd. And I thought that was really good. And there's a lot of things out there that we realize that all people are not evil and all people are not all good. And in fact, you'll find that many of the people who appear to be compromised, in fact, have done what they could from time to time. So it's not as clear as you would see. I want to give you one quote, Stan. You asked me about it, and it's from Richard Nixon's first book of statesmanship after he was forced out of office in 1974 after the so-called Watergate crisis. He wrote a book called The Real War. He wanted people to understand. He wrote from his heart. He wrote things for people to understand. And he said, he the essence of it is contained on page 238 of a book published in 1980 by Warner Books. President Richard Nixon writing in The Real War. He said, the nation's immediate problem is that while the common man fights America's wars, the intellectual elite sets its agenda. Today, whether the West lives or dies is in the hands of its new power elite, those who set the terms of public debate, who manipulate the symbols, who decide whether the nations or leaders will be depicted on 100 million television sets as, quote, good or bad. This power elite sets the limits of the possible for presidents and Congress. It molds the impressions that move the nation or that mire it down. And I think that's a really good summary. I only have one caveat to that, and that Nixon didn't understand that God was truly sovereign, and he attributed sovereignty to this powerful group that we've been alluding to, that has been alluded to by the mayor of New York City in 1922 in a famous speech in Chicago. Arnold Toynbee, B. Carroll Reese, Carroll Quigley, so many patriots in various places in private and public life have alluded to the fact that there is a powerful group of people. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and the love of money is the root of all evil. But the real issue in America is, as Lincoln understood, when he was in crisis in 1863, he actually called the nation to a day of national prayer. He said, stay home from work. He said, humiliate yourself and humble yourself before God. Fast and pray for the nation and pray for this country. And he made that declaration because what we do is futile. And he understood who the forces against him were, but he sought the Lord and called the nation to prayer. And I like to remind my friends, that was March the 30th, 1863, and in July, the first few days in July, the Battle of Gettysburg took place. Cause and effect, I think that we have to be careful when we look at these powerful forces, this power elite, as some call it, that we don't attribute sovereignty to them. And God uses them and raises them up, and he uses them to punish those who've turned their back on him, particularly his own. He uses them as a rod of correction, and I'm looking for enough people to truly recognize that the problem is us, and we've got a lot to repent of.
Okay, let's go to Steve, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Steve, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Hello, how are you? I just was wanting to know what you and your guest would have to say about the problem that what is and isn't constitutional seems to be sort of the exclusive purview of the federal courts. That is, they decide what is or isn't constitutional, and regular Americans may very well disagree on in the case of a particular decision, but you don't seem to have much input.
All right, fine. Well, let's get the Colonel to reply to that.
Okay.
Colonel, Steve is pointing out, look, it seems that the courts decide what's constitutional and not, and if they want to change the Constitution, they sort of do it on their own. It doesn't matter what the people want. How would you respond to that, and what can be done?
Well, I think that's sort of I think that's a fatalistic attempt. Sure, the courts have been abusing that since Felix Frankfurter went on the court. Roosevelt attempted to pack the court, and he certainly, there were high-degreed Masons controlled the Supreme Court from 1941 to 1971. Paul Fisher documented all that very well. But let me give you an example of a young lady teaching in a school in Jefferson County, Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, who wanted to display the Ten Commandments. She was a math teacher, and with a little bit of instruction, she could incorporate that into the curriculum in her school, so that when she put it up and got pressure from the school board, her principal, and even the group in Wisconsin, the group that united for separation of church and state, can you imagine, from Wisconsin, writing about a single school teacher in Jefferson County, Kentucky? But she knew why she'd put it up. She put it up and made it relevant to her class on standards. She explained it in a very clear way, and they're still on that wall today. But she understood what she was doing, and she wasn't drawing conclusions, but she understood the way Judge Roy Moore did when he put the Ten Commandments up on his courthouse wall the first time as a circuit judge. He could defend it. He could articulate that this is the precedent legal code upon which American law and civil government are based. It doesn't mean you won't draw fire, but you can't just sit back and say, I'm helpless, I can't do anything. You need to know what you're doing. And when you do the thing that you know is going to draw fire, you better get your facts straight and be able to articulate what you're doing, so it's not misconstrued. And I found a number of people who've been able to, at different levels of government, and I certainly know the people who encouraged the Secretary of Defense, to issue this Liberty Day proclamation, for example. So, you have to, it takes a lot more time, talent, and treasure to initiate action than it is to be a reactionary and wait for somebody to come and knock on your door with a problem. But I found that people at all levels, from private citizens to the church house to the schoolhouse to the courthouse to the state house to Congress, have to be better informed, and they have to articulate. It's not beyond their means. It's not beyond their intellect to be able to do these things. So what I'm saying is that you have to be able to defend the Constitution in your own life, where you are. And if you do that, you've started to gain ground back, and not worry that some... Look what happened in the Ninth Circuit. They struck down In God We Trust from the Pledge of Allegiance, a three-judge panel. The outrage in this country was so great, they withdrew that opinion.
And that's what we need, of course, Steve, is more people, first of all, to care, more people informed, and we're setting up institutes of the Constitution across America. You need to go to Colonel Ray's website, get the foundations of our freedom, start electing congressmen who will use the Constitution to limit the appellate jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, and let's let them know that we're not going to take their misuse of our Constitution, and we're going to try them, and we're going to impeach them if they get out of line. Thanks so much for calling, Steve. Steve, and Colonel, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you for what you're doing. Again, you can go to the website. It's Eunice Ray, EUNICERAY at AOL.com. Is that
right?
That's
the email address. And firstprinciplespress.org is the website. And make use of that information. If you need more, we'd be happy to try to supply it to you, so that not only can you be informed, but you can use that PowerPoint presentation and deliver it to other groups that you may be a part of, and to get them involved. It's we the people need to be the government again in this country.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Colonel.
Appreciate you, Stan.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, this is the time when I just ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers. And of course, we ask you to remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And if we'll be back with you Monday. Until then, may the Lord be with you.
Thank you so much. So Spencer a little unhappy when we wouldn't let him on?
Dwight, you're going to infringe my right to freedom of speech?
Yeah, you're absolutely. If you want to buy it, you don't get on the radio and I just own time and money, you can.
Yeah.
We're not going to put him on. He comes on and he just disrupts the program.
Can't be the Wi-Fi, we're not going to have to.
Yeah.
He was upset because we were going to infringe his right of freedom of speech.